2 Timothy chapter 4 with me. 2 Timothy 4. Read verse 6 and 7 again. The Apostle Paul is in prison for the truth's sake, for preaching the truth. That's all. And he says in verse 6, I am now ready to be offered, sacrificed, killed. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And chapter 2 of verse 9, he says, I suffer trouble. Writing this letter from prison, he said, I'm suffering trouble as an evildoer just for telling the truth. And he said to us in verse 12 of chapter 3, he said, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, godly doesn't mean what most people think it means. It's not some silly-looking religious fellow all dressed up in seemingly or godly garments. But godly is one who walks with God, talks with God, thinks on God, worships God, and is like his God. All that will live godly, or that is walk with God, speak of the Lord, and believe His Word and His truth and stand up for it. They will suffer persecution, he said. They will. In Philippians 1, Paul was writing again from prison. And he said, it's given unto us, it says given unto us, not only to believe, but to suffer for His name's sake. Suffer loss, to suffer affliction, to suffer persecution for His name's sake, for His glory, for His honor. That's given unto us, not only to believe, but to suffer. Now, these verses came to mind. This message was born because of something that happened recently. Brother Tom Harding was contacted by a man who heard the gospel from my pastor. He contacted Brother Tom and asked him to come preach in his church. They had no pastor down in Tennessee. So Tom said, yes, I will. I'll be glad to. Tom, who's a preacher of the truth, bold to tell it, he went down and preached the truth. You know what Tom prayed. In no uncertain terms. A so-called church there of about 60 or 70 people, adults, he said. And then he asked the man if he would want other men to come preach, and he said yes. And so he had lined up several of us to preach, and the next one was Brother Marvin Stoniker. He went there to preach. I know what Brother Marvin preached. He preached from Romans 9. And then the next to preach was to be Brother Gabe, and then me, and then Todd, and so on and so forth, if they wanted us to continue to preach. But after hearing the message a couple of times, they held a meeting. 10 leading men held a meeting in that so-called church. And they voted the truth out. They voted. 8 out of 10 said, we don't want to hear this anymore. Don't want to hear it. One man said this after Brother Marvin preached, and he quoted a verse in Revelation on the Lamb, their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. One of the men said, I don't believe this stuff about the names written in the Lamb Book of Life before the world began. He said, I don't believe that. And it shocks you when you hear this. But Most people don't believe it, but to hear it said shocks you. But he said, I don't believe that. And one of the men said to him, well, he read it to us in the Bible. We saw it. We read it with him. He said, I don't care if it's in the Bible or not. I don't believe it. Another man stood up and said, now here's his word, and I quote, Brother Tom said, he said, this message is not worth splitting our church over. And Brother Tom told me all of that, and then Brother Tom said what I was thinking. He said, this message is worth dying for. And this message was born. A message worth dying for. The gospel worth dying for. And the fact of the matter is, the gospel splits everybody. It splits every time. This is what the gospel does. Let me tell you about this gospel worth dying for. Let me tell you, first of all, what the gospel is not. If you're taking note. And then I'll tell you what the gospel is. And then I'll tell you what the gospel does. And then I'll tell you what the gospel's worth. What the gospel is not, I must say this first, what the gospel is not, because even Paul said they'll come preaching another gospel. He said in the last day they will come preaching another gospel, which is not another. It's a perversion. It's not the gospel at all. They call it that. Said they'll come preaching another Jesus who's not the Lord Jesus Christ of Scripture. Now, gospel means good news. Gospel means good news. And this gospel they're preaching today that says God loves everyone without exception, that God loves all men and women, and yet many of them go to hell. Where is the good news in that? What is good news about God's love if He loves me and I might go to hell anyway? That's not gospel. The gospel that is an offer, the one that they say today, God offers you this and offers you that, offers you grace and peace, is not good news to a dead sinner. The gospel of a Jesus, a so-called Jesus who tries to save, and can't save you unless you let Him save you. The gospel of a Jesus who wants to do things and cannot have His way because men won't cooperate. He wishes, He wants, He's outside knocking on your door and wants in and He can't get in. Men won't let Him in and He's hoping and wishing. What's the good news in a Savior like that? He's not a Savior at all, is He? He's not Lord at all. You can call Him Lord, but He's not if he can't do as He will. Where's the good news in that? A gospel that says that Jesus died for you, His blood was shed to pay for your sins. Good news. He died for you. He paid for your sins. Now, you won't have to be punished if you accept that. If you'll make good on that. If you'll make His blood... Now, wait a minute. Did He or did He not pay for my sin? Did that blood pay for my sins or not? And they say yes or no. Well, maybe if you... Where's the good news in that? That there's some people right now in hell for whom Christ died, paid for their sin, yet they're paying for them right now. Where's the good news in that? A gospel that gives eternal life, they say. But it's not eternal at all. You can lose it. Where's the good news in that? He's going to take it back. He gave it to you, but He's going to take it back. A gospel of a so-called Holy Spirit who can't convince people of anything, can't bring anybody, can't keep them saved. Where's the good news in that? Well, that's what the gospel is not. Okay? That's the gospel everybody's preaching today, isn't it? You know it's so. You hear it. That is the so-called gospel, where good news that people are, that the vast majority of preachers are preaching today. And that's a false gospel. And it's damning those that believe it. And those are evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse. Now, I'm going to tell you what the gospel is. Look at 2 Timothy 1. I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to repeat what the Lord said. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. He says, and oh my, verse 7 goes with what we just studied. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, a powerful gospel, and of love, and of a sound mind, good judgment. Read on. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, His gospel, nor of me, His prisoner. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Now He's going to tell us what the gospel is. It is the gospel according to the power of God. It's the powerful gospel of God. So the gospel is not an offer at all. It's an act. You can substitute the word Christ for the gospel. You can substitute the word grace for the gospel. The gospel is an act of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. God uses this gospel powerfully. That's what He said to the Thessalonians. Our gospel came unto you not in word only, but in power. It's a gospel according to the power of God. Who hath, verse 9, God who hath saved us. You see, this gospel is tells us about salvation of the Lord. This gospel says God does the saving. And who He saves is saved. Does it say hath saved? Not trying to save. Not will save if you let it. Hath saved. This is a gospel according to the power of God. Our God who reigns and rules, all power is given unto our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven and earth. Who hath saved us and called us? Called us according to His own purpose. Not according to our will, but according to His purpose, His will and purpose, and grace, which was given us, which was ordered in all things and sure, predestinated concerning us before the world began. John Calvin didn't write that. Jesus Christ did. That's our gospel. That's the gospel. See that? That's the gospel. According to... Turn back to Ephesians 1 real quickly with it. Ephesians 1. The gospel according to God. Now, it's not as we would say that, well, this is according to you and this is according to me. No, this is the only gospel there is. According to God. And He's the only one that's true. But look at this. The gospel according to God, according to His sovereign election. This is the gospel. Anything other is not the gospel. The gospel according to sovereign election. Verse 4. According as He hath chosen us. You see that? As He hath... We didn't choose Him. No human being chose Him. Not of him that willeth. Of him that runneth. Not of the will of the flesh, the will of man. But of God. The gospel according to sovereign election. The gospel according to sovereign grace. Verse 7, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. According to the gift of His grace. According as He bestowed this blood or applied this blood, the redemption of Christ, upon us. We didn't accept it. We didn't apply it. We didn't make it effectual. God did. He gave it to, according to His sovereign grace. This is the gospel according to His sovereign will and pleasure. Verse 9. He's made known unto us. We didn't figure it out. He's made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. Not with you, but in Himself. according to His will and His pleasure. Why did God save whom He will? Because it pleased God. All right, this is a gospel according to His purpose and predestination of all things. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Free will is a lie. The gospel today tells us about free will. That's not good news to me, because my will is corrupt. My will is for the flesh. My will is to sin. God's will is what I want to be done, and it is, and it will. This is the gospel according to sovereign power, the operation of God. Verse 19. This is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. You see, this is the gospel according to God. The gospel is the gospel of God. Good news, people. I've got good news. Scripture tells us good news. Comfort ye my people. Comfort ye. Tell them the good news. I reign. God reigns. Nobody and nothing reigns but God. Good news. There's good news. That God is God. Author and the finisher. This gospel, God is the author of it. Good news and the finisher. Good news, God that begun a good work, will finish it. He even works all our works in us and for us. Now that's good news. This is the gospel of God's Son, concerning God's Son. Good news, your salvation is completely dependent on Jesus Christ. Good news, can I shout this a little bit? Good news, salvation's in the hand of Jesus Christ. Your soul is in the hands of Jesus Christ. Your destiny doesn't depend on you. Your salvation doesn't depend on you. I got good news. You've got a surety. You've got a covenant head. You've got a Lord. You've got a Savior who's never failed to save one single person for whom He came to save. Good news. This is the gospel. There is no other. This is the good news of God's glory, the gospel of God's glory. All glory. All glory belongs to Him. Years ago, you remember this, Dad, you and Scott were sitting in an automobile riding somewhere. Brother Scott Richardson's dad told this story. They were riding in a car, preachers of the gospel, both of them. And I think it was Brother Scott that posed this question. He said, Brother Henry, he said, how do we know that our gospel is the gospel? Everybody says they're preaching the gospel. That's what men ought to ask. That's what everyone that hears ought to ask. He said, how do we know that our gospel is the gospel? And these two men came up with five things. And every preacher I know has preached them. All right? Now they heard it too. And we examine our faith by that. We examine our gospel. I did. All right, number one. How do we know our gospel's the gospel? The gospel of God gives God all the glory. All the glory. From the choosing to the crowning. From the election to the coronation, to the glorification. It's of the Lord. Salvation's of the Lord from beginning to end. Not of works, not of man, not of our will, not of our choice, but of God. Salvation's of the Lord. Why? His glory. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Wherein He hath redeemed us, chosen us, saved us, made us accepted, and so on. Called us. The gospel, number one, gives God all the glory. The gospel enables God to be just and justifier. Now, this doesn't matter to the average person that God is just. It doesn't matter to the average person. They don't believe this and they don't care that God is just, that God is holy, that God will by no means clear the guilty, that God must punish sin. They don't care. They don't believe it and they don't care. But folks, if there's not a holy and righteous and just God who is punishing sin, we're in a mess. If there's no absolute right, and we're in a mess. It's chaos. Satan or some evil thing is reigning and ruling, and we're in a mess. God is. God is holy. God is just. This gospel enables God to be just, holy, and righteous, and just, and yet justify. Completely clear and spare and accept and declare innocent and righteous a sinner, a no good sinner, a guilty rebel. How? Jesus Christ, who was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, to declare at this time, I say, His righteousness. God is just and justified. This gospel, it number one, gives God all the glory. This gospel enables God to be just and justifier. This gospel is the only gospel that actually saves a sinner. Actually saves. Justified, sanctified, pardoned, redeemed. This gospel actually and keeps and saves. This gospel is the only gospel that will keep you saved. The power of God. Kept by the power of God. This gospel, and lastly they said, this gospel, and just according to Scripture, this gospel proves, is the gospel that is proved by all of Scripture. Proved from Genesis to Revelation. Declared to be the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. All right, let me tell you what the gospel does. And as I said, there's just another word for Christ, another word for grace, another word for the power of God. The gospel. What the gospel does is the gospel chooses us. And that's good news. If you're a death row criminal, if you're on death row, and you hear there is one person who can fully, finally, freely, effectually pardon you and set you free, and He gives the command, there's plenty of on death row pleading and pleading and pleading. Their only hope is that the one in charge says, deliver him. He gives the command. He chooses whom He will. None of them worth saving. But He chooses one. If you're a death row criminal or a dead sinner, good news. God chose you. Chose you. This gospel chooses us, not us choosing Him. This gospel quickens us. This gospel calls us. This gospel doesn't wait on us to call. This gospel calls us. I'm so glad. Moses, take off your shoes. Samuel didn't know him. Samuel, this gospel calls us. Andrew, Peter, James, John, I've chosen you. Get out of that boat and come with me. This gospel calls us. Quickens us. Lazarus, come forth. Good news. This gospel. You give diligence. You know how you know your election? By your call. This gospel calls us. This gospel brings us. This gospel lays hold of us. This gospel comes where we are and reaches down way down and picks us up and plucks us up as a brand from the burning. This gospel fetches us. The gospel of God fetches us. Like old Mephibosheth. David, who is the representative of the son of David, gave the high command. David, who's the sovereign, sent two of his strong men down there to fetch this rebel. This fellow who deserved to die. All of his brothers did. But David, rich in mercy, according to a covenant he made with the one he loved, sent them down to fetch Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth wasn't calling. Mephibosheth wasn't seeking. Mephibosheth wasn't coming. He couldn't. He wouldn't. But David, but God, rich in mercy, sent the command to call us by His gospel, to fetch us, lay hold of her, bring her. She won't come. Pick her up and bring her to me. Why? I'm going to show mercy for Christ's sake. The gospel fetches us. The false gospel has a Jesus that comes when they call Him. Our Lord Jesus calls us and we come to Him. This gospel gives and provides everything we need. Doesn't offer it, gives it. This gospel provides wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption to all that God can. This gospel provides everything, gives us everything, bestows upon us peace. We don't have to make peace. Jesus Christ did it. This gospel declares peace. Christ made peace. Not an offer of peace. It's an act of peace. This gospel gives us peace. This gospel gives us repentance. Except we repent, we'll perish. The goodness of God leads us to repent. Isn't that good news? I know some people need to repent. I need to keep repenting. But they're not going to, and I'm not going to unless the Lord turns us, gives us repentance. This gospel gives us faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. This gospel, you must believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I can't. So God says, believe. This faith is not of yourself. It's a gift of God. If you can, if this is your gospel, if this is what happened to you, be of good cheer. He calleth you. This gospel gives hope. Real hope. Not a wish. But a hope. True hope based on certain promises. Certain work. This gospel gives joy. Not fake joy. Real joy. Which no man understands. Satisfaction. This gospel gives rest. He promised rest. Christ promised rest. He said, come unto me, I'll give you rest. This gospel gives rest. Freedom. Freedom. This gospel kills and it makes alive. This gospel wounds and it heals. This gospel divides. This gospel separates. Wheat from the chaff. Goat from the sheep from the goat. This gospel pierces to the dividing asunder of the thoughts from the intents of the heart, separating joints and marrow, families, separates a father from a son, a daughter from her mother, but yet the same gospel unites. This gospel redeems, pays for, buys, makes the price. This gospel shows mercy. And our Lord said, my mercy endureth forever. My mercy will I not take from them. This is mercy that keeps on being merciful. This gospel justifies. This gospel blots out. This gospel actually blots out the handwriting of ordinances against us. This gospel actually blots out every sin upon the record of every single child of God. Completely covers it. This gospel forgives, and this gospel forgets. This is the gospel. There is no other. This gospel keeps. This gospel preserves. This gospel presents. Able to present us faultless before the presence of His glory. Keep us. able to keep. This gospel raises us from the dunghill. This gospel exalts us. This gospel glorifies us. This gospel changes our vile bodies into His glorious body. Any less thing less than this is not the gospel.
Amen.
Let me tell you what this gospel's worth. Another word, the gospel is another word for the pearl of great price. This gospel's worth living for. Gospel's worth living for, leaving for, and losing for. This gospel is worth living for. People live for many things. People live for vanity. People spend their whole lives. They spend their lives. They live for things that are just absolutely worthless. And they're going to lose it all. This gospel is worth living for. The only thing worth living for. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. To know Him. This gospel's worth living for. It's not a vain thing. People live for dead things and things that don't last and things that are temporary and things they're going to lose. Everything they live for, they're going to lose. This gospel's worth living for because we'll never lose. This gospel's worth leaving for. This gospel's worth leaving everyone for and everything for. This gospel's worth leaving home for, worth leaving family for, worth leaving friends for. Ask Abraham. He'll tell you, will you go back, Abraham? Oh, no. Back to Ur? Back to heathenism? Back to idolatry? Back to... Oh, no. Ask Moses. Moses, how you esteem this gospel? Greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Moses, would you like to go back to your friends in Egypt? Ain't a friend in one of them. None of them were friends. They're just friends. What they get out of me? They're these people, the people of God. Now, these are my friends. These are my companions. These are some real people. These are people like Christ. Oh, no, I'd rather suffer reproach with the people of Christ than to go back and rub shoulders with and hobnob with the rich and famous. Oh, no, you can have them. Worth leaving for. This gospel's worth losing for. This gospel's worth losing your reputation for. Losing your life for. Losing your honor for. I got news for you. Now you know this. We don't have any honor. We don't have anything but a bad reputation. For God, and he that loseth his life, loseth his honor, loseth himself, loseth his reputation, will gain it. Will gain life. Paul said this. He said, what things were gained to me, I count but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count it but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that righteousness which is by faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, that I might win Christ. Oh, that I might know Him. Oh, that I might be found in Him. Till you can have it all. Give me Christ, and I've got it all. This gospel's worth losing for. This gospel's worth searching for, sacrificing for, suffering for. This gospel's worth searching for, seeking for, looking for. David said, I found your word, I found the truth, and I found it. It's like gold, it's like silver, it's like honey, it's sweeter than the honeycomb. They were looking for Christ. They said, Master, where dwellest thou? And he said, come and I'll show you. The Shulamite woman said, can you tell me where my beloved is? Would you tell me? She was seeking for him. And she said, I found him whom my soul delighted. And when she found him, she found it all. You find the pearl of great price, you find it all. Gospels worth searching for, worth sacrificing for. Time, worth sacrifice of all our time, all our money. Our Lord said, why do you spend money for that which is not bread? Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? He said, come and buy wine on the lees and well refined. Come and buy that which satisfieth. Without money, without price. This gospel is worth spending everything on, worth all your times, worth yourself, worth your life. Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us.
We weren't worth sacrificing for. We weren't worth dying for. We weren't worth living for.
But He did. Aren't you glad? He's worth it. This gospel is worth suffering for. Affliction, persecution, hatred. I'm not worth defending. My honor is not worth defending. I just hope they don't find out everything about me. But now His is. His is. He's the only one worthy. Worth suffering for. Affliction, persecution, hatred. Let them hate me. This gospel is worth fighting for. This gospel is worth fighting for. His honor, His glory. David, as a young man, this giant was standing out taunting God, mocking Israel. And David, as a young man, stood out in front of everybody and said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause today? The giant's bigger than he ever was. Mocking more than he ever has, isn't it? Taunting all of us, taunting our God. Is there not a cause? This gospel is worth fighting for. The honor and the glory, person, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name of our God is worth fighting for. The truth is worth fighting for. We must have it. Our children must have it. Our children are not going to be saved without it. This gospel is worth dying for. This gospel is worth dying for. That man said, that message is not worth splitting our church over. All these churches are going to send people to hell. All their traditions and superstitions and their little religious clubhouses are going to send them all to hell. We better hope God splits them up. Tradition, superstition, religion, all of this, false gospel, churches so-called, unless God comes and sends the truth and separates us from ourselves, from our sin, from this world, and from our ignorance and death, unless God comes and sends a sword of His gospel, we're going to die in our sins. Die in our religion, having a form of godliness. Now this gospel is worth dying for. Christ did. Christ died for the truth. Paul's about to die for the truth. And now listen to this, and I'm going to close with this. The fact of the matter is, and I wonder, you know, we worry, every believer worries and wonders if we were really faced with death, our lives stood in the balance before someone concerning the truth. Either denounce this or die. We all worry, don't we? We all wonder, how will I react? Well, I'll tell you this. This is a fact. And we've got a great cloud of witnesses. But if we won't live for Him, if we don't leave for Him, if we don't lose, are not willing to lose all for Him, if we don't seek Him, if we don't sacrifice, if we don't suffer, if we don't fight for and die for, Christ didn't die for us. He didn't. But those who truly believe that Christ died for them, and this is the fact of the matter, and there's a long time there that I believed the gospel, I believed the truth, but I didn't believe Christ. I didn't know Christ. The gospel wasn't life to me. Christ wasn't my life. I knew the doctrine. But when you find out, when you really find out, when God shows you, awakens you, and quickens you by His gospel and shows you
that you were one of those death row criminals, that you were a rebel, that you were the prodigal, that you were the worthless one, that God came and chose you, and that He sent His Son down here to die for you. Jacob, when you do find that out, that's when Christ is all. That's it. When you find out that Christ died for you, unworthy as you be, then you'll die for Him. And the world will die to you. And you did die in Him. You're crucified. You want yourself buried, dead and buried. When you find out that the Holy Son of God came down here and did this for you, you want yourself, your rotten, sinful self, dead, crucified with Him. When you find out that Christ left glory to come to this God-forsaken, this place for the likes of us, you'll esteem it as wretched and vile and evil too, won't you? And you'll be crucified to the world and the world to you. And you're crucified in Christ. Christ lived. Christ left. Christ lost. Christ searched. Christ sacrificed. Christ suffered. And Christ died for us. This is the gospel. It's a gospel worth dying for. Dying for. Living, leaving, losing, sacrificing, it's worth dying for. It's our life. Peter said it best, didn't he? Lord, You have words of life. To whom shall we go? Where shall we go? What shall we do? You called us from death into life. You called us out of darkness into Your marvelous light. We were living for dead things. Now You've showed us Your worth and Your riches. Oh my. Is that you? Does this gospel mean that to you? All right, we're going to sing and close him. Isaac Watts, great hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, 118. And one line says this, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. When I Survey, number 118. Okay.